Today's scripture reading will be coming from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt.
Morning. Doesn't that title excite y'all? That's what we're looking forward to, a little trouble and misery. I love how Scripture isn't written like a Disney movie. Disney movies are fun, or a Hallmark movie, depending on what you prefer. Because in Scripture, what we find is just what life is, and reminders of that. So I'd love for us to dive into Exodus and see what lessons we can learn in those pages. Before we get started, let's have our prayer together, please. Father, we are grateful that you know just where we are. You know our strengths and weaknesses. You know when things are going well and when we struggle. We know, Father, that you hear us when we cry out to you. And we wrestle so many times, Father, to try to understand. But we're grateful that you are with us no matter what the day brings, and that you are faithful to every promise you've made through Jesus. So we want to honor you, to praise you for all that you've done, to put our hope in you, knowing that no matter what, that you're there, no matter what comes. So, Father, help us. Help us to hold on to you and to encourage each other as we look forward to that day when there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more struggle. I'm grateful for that, Father. For through Jesus we pray. Amen. Exodus is one of those books that sometimes we relegate it to the children. I mean, how many times do we as adults really, unless we're going to read through Scripture, try to get through the whole Bible in a year, do we go back to Genesis and just read it? Or Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. I mean, who even tries Numbers? Deuteronomy is probably a little better, but those names and all that goes on. And sometimes we just go on. We know in Exodus, this familiar. When you look back over the whole story as it begins, because you got to start in Genesis and talking about Joseph. And we get a color that that multicolor coat, don't we? And all that goes on. We could get to color the pictures of when Joseph has his brothers before him and they don't recognize him and all that goes on. We get to see how Jacob and everybody gets moved to Egypt into the nice land. And so we end Genesis on a high note, like everything is going very well. And in Exodus, it continues that way because it's almost like, hey, they've moved into the best land and they did so very well. Oh, they became fruitful and they more and more. I mean, this family, Israel's family, just grew and grew and grew, became a nation. Now, the problem with that, as they became a nation, was that everybody started to notice how many of them there were getting to be, and they started to worry about that. And so, in all of this, what we find here in Exodus, in a sense, is the happy ending of Genesis to a beginning that is so very difficult and hard in Exodus, as they lay all that out. Now, see, the thing is we have to remember, in all of this, in that whole process, when we go back to Genesis 15, when God is talking to Abraham, God tells Abraham, in talking about how he's going to bless him and his descendants, how he's going to give them this land, he says, oh, by the way, that for 400 years, your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. And you think about in this time where they have gone to everything's going super well, when they're living in Egypt, when everything is just, oh, better than they could ever have imagined, to all of a sudden they've been turned into slaves and mistreated, and everything's going so terrible that all of this, that maybe this should have been a message written on every one of their walls in their homes to remember. We know one day this is what's coming. I don't think they remembered it, but they should have had this on here. Because when we look at that process of going from fruitfulness to bitterness was so very hard. And I think it's there that sometimes we end up forgetting how things actually go in life. When things are going super well, we don't think they're going to go wrong, do we? When you feel strong and healthy, you don't ever think you're going to have a diagnosis that is just the opposite. You don't ever worry about those things. When everything's going so well, you don't think about how things can go wrong and all the struggle that comes with it. And so in all of this, in the middle of all their fruitfulness, we have Pharaoh. A Pharaoh comes along who doesn't know Joseph, that didn't remember all of what happened before and why the people of Israel were placed where they are. And he says, look, we got all these people here. And if we have an enemy come to invade, these folks who aren't us, who are one of us, we'll take the side of our enemy and we'll be in a bad spot. So we need to do something about all these folks. So he says, they've become so many of them. So what we'll do now is we'll deal shrewdly with them, or they will become more numerous. And war breaks out, they'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. And so when all of that, as we look at that process of going from everything going well to so much struggle, so much pain, so much sorrow and bitterness in their lives. And we look at our own lives and we look at how life isn't always, it's not always a Disney movie. It's not always where we walk through and the birds sing and everything's going so well. And we're so blessed. And we hear people talking about how, oh, they're so very grateful for how God has blessed them. And if we are in a spot where life is the opposite, that just, it's a struggle. Because life can become a burden that overwhelms us. And it's, I don't know if it's even harder whenever it's something where it's not even something we've done. I mean, if it's hard because I did something and it's my fault, I could maybe understand it. Well, I made this choice. I'm getting the consequence of my choice. When the difficulties of life come upon us, and it's not because of what we've done, but because of what somebody else has chosen, or because of what circumstances have come along, well, what do we do with that? How do we live that? Now, we in the middle of those things, I think we do a lot of things like the people of Israel did. You know, you have little acts of rebellion along the way just to say, in spite of all this, let me just snub my nose at everything that's going on. So whenever they keep on growing and expanding, Pharaoh says, enough is enough. He tells the midwives, When the baby's born, if it's a little girl, let her live. If it's a boy, put him to death. And the midwife said, no thanks. And they have that little moment of rebellion against Pharaoh. And Pharaoh calls them on the carpet and they say, hey, it's not us. You know, these women from Israel are so much stronger and so much more vigorous than the Egyptian women. By the time we get there, the baby's born and they're already celebrating. But the midwives have, in a sense, had a little bit of active rebellion against all the misery that's going on. We find even Moses. Now, here's one of those. This becomes a Disney movie, doesn't it? We find Moses when his mother, he is born. And they're supposed to now, at this point, toss the baby boys into the Nile River. It's like, no, this isn't going to work. You've got to get rid of your own children. It's like, my goodness, I can't even imagine. And Moses' mother looks at him and says, I can't do it. And keeps him at home and nurses him. And finally he gets big enough that it's hard to keep him quiet. That's almost an oxymoron, a quiet baby. We know that's a temporary thing, isn't it? And so when Moses gets to the point that she can't keep him from being discovered, is where we know she takes that basket, coats it with pitch, waterproofs it, places him in it, and then puts that basket there in the reeds in the Nile. Do y'all hear that little bit of rebellion? Technically, she did what Pharaoh said. I put my baby boy in the Nile. And we know the story as it goes, that it wasn't just, his sister's there watching. And that's where the princess sees the baby and decides to adopt him. And wouldn't you know it, Mama gets to raise him anyway as a wet nurse. But it's that little bit of rebellion as it goes on. Now Moses gets big enough and he gets to play a part in all that as well. He knows where he's from. He knows the house he lives in. He knows what his roots are. And he's walking out among the people and he sees an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite. And so as he saw that, he sees that and he looks this way and that and he realizes he's alone and he tries to make it right. And he murders the Egyptian and he buries him in the sand. A little act of rebellion. I mean, didn't it feel like he did something? He stood up for what was right. He knew what was being done was wrong. He was going to do something about it. And then two Israelis are fighting, Israelites, they're fighting among themselves. And Moses says, what are y'all doing that for? And they say, what, are you going to kill us too like you did that Egyptian? What you thought is secret is kind of hard to stay hidden, isn't it? So he gets afraid. Pharaoh hears about it and Moses runs. Now there's fear all through these chapters, if you'll pay attention. Pharaoh was afraid of Israel and what might be. Moses is afraid and is of what might be, and he runs and everything that goes along. But all of this, when we look at what's going on, when we're struggling, when we're hurting, we'll try anything to try to feel better, won't we? We'll try all kinds of things. Some of them are more apparent than others. Y'all know if you drink enough alcohol, you don't really feel the pain for a while. Now, it comes back when you sober up. But you hear that little fix we try? We'll try all kinds of things. We'll try to keep ourselves so busy so we don't have to think about what's going on. I know a dear lady that she's past tense, had lost sons and husband. And the pain was too much, and so she couldn't hardly even sit down. She had to constantly be going and going and going just to not have to think about the pain she carried. And we do that. All of us would do that in some way. When we're hurting, we try to find something to help alleviate that, to fix it in our own minds, to make it better in some way, to do what's right, and kind of give it a little act of rebellion against life as it went along. But the thing is no matter all of this, their oppression still remained. No matter what they did, and all these little things, Pharaoh was still in charge. Egypt was still, all the Egyptians were still making the Israelites slaves, and they were still in misery and all of that. And so when finally, if we get to the end of chapter 1, and we find that Pharaoh dies, the king of Egypt dies, and you think, here's a chance for something to be different. He's the one that's been causing all this trouble, but still they're in their slavery, and they cry out. They cry for help because of the slavery. I mean, we all know times like that where we cry out. We say, Lord, where are you? Have y'all ever prayed over and over and over again, Lord, please? It feels like there's just no way out of this. This is where Israel was. How do we deal with this? Now, all of this, I think there's a great reminder. God heard. Verse 23, they cry out. Verse 24, it was chapter 2. I said chapter 1, didn't I? God heard their groaning. He remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. God heard. God saw. God felt for his people. He remembered what's going on. And all of that, we see God is saying, enough is enough. Now, when God starts to say, I'm going to do something about it, I think our expectations sometimes will get us painting a different picture than what happens. In chapter 3, we get Moses ended up, he's taking sheep. He'd been a prince in a palace, now he's watching sheep. And he sees this bush burning. And he says, that should have burned out a long time ago. I mean, it's kind of normal. How many times do we have a fire start up? When you're in dry country and the lightning strikes, we're not surprised if a fire starts, but we know eventually it stops. And so Moses sees this bush burning and it's still going, and he goes over to check it out, and God talks to him. God says, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. We've got some biblical context for not wearing shoes. Maybe we ought to try that. He takes off his sandals and he goes over, and God starts to talk to him. He says, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of the slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians. Now, if you're Israel, any of us, you know, if you think about God saying, I'm going to rescue them. I'm going to bring them out of it. So he says, this is what's going to go on. He said, I'm going to keep my promises. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt. And now in all that, what we see is that God saying, I'm going to keep my promise. I'm going to do something about this. And when we talk about that, now here's the hard part for us. When we think about God doing something about it, don't y'all get excited about the aspect that God's going to step in and just shake up the whole world? Lord, these people are mistreating me. And God steps in and says, okay, they're gone. We get up the next day and the world is so much better. Have y'all ever had that happen? But that's what we want. I want it taken care of now. I want to see it happen. Lord, where is justice? Lord, why can't we have this no longer? Why do we have this going on? Lord, please. The pain is too much. But in the middle of all this, what's interesting is that God says, I've seen their misery. I've seen where they are. I know how they're hurting. And I'm going to do something about it. And what does he say? Moses, I want you to go. That's probably the one thing that wouldn't be on my list of things God's going to do to take care of the problems that are going on. Send a person. And when we realize that, it's like, Moses, I've got a job for you. I want you to fix this. That's not exactly, that's what Moses thought, I believe. I can't do that. There's no way I can handle that. And you hear Moses' fear. We get fear over and over again in these chapters. Moses is like, I'm not anybody. I mean, sure, I used to live in the palace, but I had to run. I'm just out here minding my own business, take care of these sheep, and the sheep sometimes don't even treat me right. You're going to expect me to walk in there and take care of anything that goes on? Who am I to do that? God's like, all right, come on. Verse 13. Moses said, what if I go to the Israelites and I tell them, you know, this is the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what's his name? What shall I tell him? In other words, he's saying, I have no clue what I'm doing. In fact, Lord, this is really the first time we've talked. I don't have anything, and I no knowledge, no understanding, nothing. How am I going to answer their questions? God says, I got a plan for that too. Chapter 4, he says, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? You know, can y'all understand why God goes, come on. Over and over again, Moses is like, wait, Lord, you know, I'm not much of a talker. I'm not eloquent at all. Not before or since. I'm slow of speech and tongue. God's like, you know who created you? Finally, Moses is like, you know, Lord, I'd like to opt out. Can you just send somebody else? You know, you hear that over and over and over again, that God is like, I chose you. And so finally God says, I tell you what, your brother's coming out here to see you. You tell him what to say, and then he'll do the talking for you. But when we look at all that goes on, is that in all that fear, all that struggle, God says, the way I'm going to take care of the misery of Israel is I'm sending this person. And so for us, when we look out to, and if we're in the middle of a struggle, when we're in the middle of all of our challenges, all the pain and sorrow that we may be bearing in a moment, and we cry out to God, we want God to really do something about this right now. But how many times in our lives does God take care of what's going on in our lives by first sending a person? Nothing big and dramatic. Just a person. Not somebody who's big and flashy and does wonderful things, but somebody who is just there. Who steps into our lives and helps us to take the first baby step. Helps us to find that first little bit of relief and healing that points us back to God. Sometimes the person that God sends is us. You know, when we're in the middle of struggling, how many times does God say, you're just the person, but there's a little bit that needs to go on inside of you to get you where you need to be. So he works in us to get us to that point where we need to be. To understand and to grow and to draw near to him. I almost hate to tell y'all, but this is going to be a downer of an ending. Don't y'all feel excited? God stepped in. He's sending Moses. Things are going to be great. And that's the way it looks like when we get to the end of chapter 4. They gather up all the elders of Israel. Aaron tells them. I like how this starts out. If you'll read these chapters ahead, you'll see how Aaron is doing the talking, and all of a sudden Moses steps in and says, this is too much trouble, and he starts doing the talking. But he tells them everything that goes on. They perform the signs before the people, and they believed. They heard the Lord was concerned about them and seen their misery. They bow down and worship. They're excited because God is doing something about it. Things are going to change. He's going to bring us out of our misery. We're going to find just what we need in this moment. And God's going to take care of it. And so Moses and Aaron, they go to Pharaoh and they say, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. You know Pharaoh's going to sit up straight and go, I better pay attention to this, right? Let my people go. I want them to go out here and make sacrifices. And Pharaoh says, oh, I can't say anything against God. Okay. No! Don't you wish that's where the story ended? It just started where Pharaoh says, no, y'all are just being lazy. Y'all, you think you got it bad now. And he tells all the workers, said, I tell you what, don't help them out. Don't give them any straw to make their bricks. Don't make their job easy because they're just a bunch of whiners. And so we get the leaders come back to Moses and Aaron and said, I hope that God will hold you accountable for what you've done to us. You've made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. And so Moses goes to God and says, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Did you send me here to make things worse for them? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people and you have not rescued your people at all. This is Moses talking. Lord, you said, you promised. I go in and I talk to Pharaoh and we come back out and everything has gotten so much worse. Oh, my word. You know, I know y'all have probably had everything in your life go easy, right? Isn't that the way life works? So everything's going wrong. Oh, this is where I need an easy button up on the screen. There's a whole lot that has to go on here. And easy is not the way to get it to happen. Because the thing is God knows us better than we know ourselves. God knows Egypt, Pharaoh, and all those folks. He knows the people of Israel, and he knows what's going on in their hearts. And he knows to get from here to there, it's not going to be easy. Because he's not doing this just to make the pain go away. He's doing this to make sure they understand what's going to be in the days ahead. And sometimes we've got to wrestle with that. Because the difficulty in all of that is sometimes to get out of where we are means more pain and more struggle. And we know that. We know that. Any of y'all ever spend a lifetime smoking and you decide you're going to stop? For most people in those shoes, it is not easy. Because your body wants that really bad. And you've all had a habit of thinking that you've done the same thing for the same way for a lifetime. And you decide, I'm going to be different. And it's not easy. Sometimes it's a lot more pain in the process than where we were to begin with. In fact, the pain has gotten so bad for them, it says that Moses tells them what God is going to do, and it's like, does this even talk to the hand? I hear how old I'm using a fairly new reference, and I'm, so they're not interested. No. Now, the thing about that is they knew what had been, and now they knew how bad it was getting, or even worse. And you know what? I think in that moment they decided we were better off where we were than where we are now. Sometimes our struggle with our pain is that we don't know what's going to be when we get out of where we are. The devil we know is better than the devil we don't. At least in our minds. I know I'm hurting now, but if it's going to get worse, if it's going to be harder, I'll just stay where I am. And I think in all of this, when you look at Israel, God's task, well, there's a couple things to learn here, to grab a hold of. I hope one good thing that we grab a hold of is to remember that in the middle of all that goes on, that God hears and sees the misery they're in. That God knows where we are. He hears us when we call out to Him. Even though we're struggling and we don't understand how this is going to work out, God sees us. He hears us. And we have not been abandoned, that He is with us in this process. But the process for Israel, not only did he have to convince the Egyptians, you need to let these people go. He had to convince the Israelites that you want to be let go. And in our own lives, how many times do we have to be convinced what's ahead will be better if we'll just let go of where we are now? Because I guarantee there's been a lot of us who will struggle with where we are but aren't willing to make the change to get where God wants us to be because we don't know what it's going to be like. Now that idea, we all do it. We'll stay where we are because we're afraid of what we'll be. And the challenge for us is that to get where God wants us to be means letting go of where we are. The challenge is to admit, I'm scared. It scares me to step away from what's always been in my life. But I know God is faithful and He'll be with me every step of the way. God calls for us. He says, I know where you are. And to get to where you can be, trust me. If you're ready today to do just that, to let go of the past that you've been living in, to be buried with Christ in baptism, to live for Him, even if you don't know what that looks like yet, to live for Him, you can do that today. Or maybe as a child of God, you've already said, I want to live for you, Lord, but you struggle. You struggle with what you don't know. It scares you. And we'll pray with you and for you if you need that. But if you need to respond, would you come as we stand and sing?